I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
The day has come for huge savings at Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat with Jeep Adventure Days and Ram Power Days going strong on Covington Pike. Get 0% APR plus no payments for 90 days. New 2020 Jeep Cherokee Latitude IIHS Top Safety Pick $21,740 or $275 a month. 2020 Dodge Challenger, a muscle car with best-in-class cargo volume. $24,690 or $318 a month. 2020 Dodge Charger, America's fastest four-door muscle car. $24,990 or $329 a month. And 2020 Ram 1500 Tradesman Quad Cab $366 a month. Drive past the rest. Come to the best Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat. 1901 Covington Pike. Online, GossettMotorCars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motorcars.
All 75 months at 3.99 APR. $3,500 down. Must finance through Chrysler Cherokee. LD 561583. Challenger LH214740. Charger LH116732. 1500 LS139171. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through end of the month with approved credit. Dealer's card only.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Who that? Hey. Hey, who that, man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to we want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about, don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right, rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Thursday, September 24th. I'm coming off a pretty stunning development last night. Not so much, at least to me, that the Miami Heat come out on top in Game 4, take a 3-1 lead in this series, got the Celtics on the brink of elimination. Miami now one win away from the finals as a 5 seed, if you can believe it. But the way it went down, the way it happened, talked quite a bit about this series and yesterday specifically saying, well, it looked like Jimmy Butler going to have to step up offensively and be more aggressive. And he was, you know, averaging 17, ends up, I believe, with 24. But it was Tyler Hero John Martin. And plug in all your jokes right here if you want to. Saw a lot of that last night because of that last name. But basically because of the way he played. 37 points, the most ever scored off the bench by a rookie in playoff history. And he helps the Miami Heat to a 112-109 victory. What a game for young Tyler Hero, John Martin.
I can be a hero,
now,
baby.
There's one. I knew you'd have something for
you
me.
You like that?
Yeah. Does this guy not, does he not titillate you?
He does.
Watching this dude play basketball?
I knew this was gonna,
he got it out the mud.
You know, I knew this was going to be a conversation that we were going to have today.
American player.
Well, he really is.
You like
is.
That?
He really is. I mean, he's white and he's American.
Is Mark Spears, what, two, three years ago, wrote that story about where had he gone?
Yes.
Where has that American white basketball player gone?
That's right. Put a cape on him. because he is single-handedly saving white America right now. I mean, he's given, you know,
dude cold.
He is giving all you know, little Jimmy down the street, Billy, you know. Well, the names have evolved for whites in 2020. Like, they're more like Dawson and Knox, you know.
Oh, that's a good point.
And Jude. I mean, the names in the white portion of the country have gotten very, I think we've gotten off the rails completely. Gone are the days of John.
Oh, I didn't know we'd get that take.
And you know, it's all like last names now. It's a very popular thing in the white community to name your child like your maiden name. You know, like Duncan. Duncan Robinson. That's a very white name.
I hadn't thought about that, John.
And so...
Opening my eyes.
And so Tyler feels like he harkens back to a better time, right? When you just gave your white child a regular name.
How many times was the phrase, that white dude cold, or that white boy cold, was it uttered last night?
Well, as Scalabrini would tell you, it had happened quite a bit with me. You know, somebody...
when you played, right. when they see you
play. When I hooped. As a notorious hooper, but listen, no, I
historic type hooping last night.
It really was. I mean, only one time before had it happened exactly like that, in that exact circumstance, and it was Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson was the other gentleman, I believe, to score 30 or more as a rookie in a conference finals game. I'm pretty sure that was a stat, right? Something along those lines.
The 37, the second most by a player age 20 or younger in playoff history. Magic had 42 in the 1980 finals.
Wow.
So yes, of that age.
Wow.
No one had ever scored more other than Magic.
Shout out to Magic Johnson. 42 as a 20 year old.
Yes.
That is insane. But yes, last night Tyler Hero put the team on his back though, and helped the Miami Heat to a 3-1 series lead over the Boston Celtics. Let's just kind of go through this really quickly here. 37 points, 14 of 21 shooting, 5 of 10 from 3. I mean, that is spectacular basketball. And there's no question that, you know, you think about the future of this league. I saw Chris Harrington ask this question on Twitter last night, and I think he said, if you did a redraft right now, would Tyler Hero go third? I think Tyler Hero might go second.
You lost your mind.
I think he might. Some teams would take him second over Zion.
I see what you did there.
Some would take him over Zion.
Yeah, okay, I see what you did there. You're funny, and you still lost your mind. It was a historic performance, but don't let it have you drunk coming up in here. On a Thursday morning, okay?
All right, well, okay. Well, can I just set the schedule of the show here before we
he needs more love.
Celebrate this young man. We're going to be joined by Alyssa Lang, who has a new show coming up on the SEC Network, Out of Pocket with Alyssa Lang. We will talk to her about the new show, about South Carolina, Tennessee. Big SEC weekend. We're getting it, folks. It's here. There was a time where we wondered maybe it would never come, and it is here. It is coming this weekend. And we missed it. It'll be nice. It'll be nice to just turn on the television and see some SEC football. Is it going to be the same? No, it is not going to be the same. Is it going to be fun? Is it going to be worth celebrating? Absolutely. So
this is a bet not stub your toe game for Tennessee, too.
It is. It is. You're exactly right.
With the schedule they've got.
So we will talk to Alyssa Lang about all of that at 11:25. At 12:25, we are scheduled to be joined by Joe Craig, former University of Memphis wide receiver, who I'm not sure if you guys are up on his story. Mark Giannata wrote a column about it last week, I believe. But Joe Craig was in a very bad car accident.
Last month, right?
Yeah, very bad car accident. And he is he was told he'd never walk again. He was told he'd be paralyzed by doctors. Mm. And he's actually walking again. And he's going to actually hold a walk this weekend, I believe, downtown.
Tom Lee Park Victory Walk with Joe Craig.
Yeah.
It's downtown Tom Lee Park, 4 p.m. on the 26th.
Yeah, and you know, he's posted some pictures of, you know,
Saturday, obviously,
his surgeries and sort of, you know, his scars and the stitching and stuff. I mean, it's quite the remarkable story here
Danny Thomas and Poplar, 3-something, Red Giannato's column, Danny Thomas and Poplar, 3 a.m., no alcohol involved, anything like that. Just one of those things that he came out of nowhere. He gets blasted again to the point where doctors say he's not going to be able to walk. The other driver apparently had minor injuries, was able to walk away that night. And you go from at one point last month, Doctors telling you you can't walk again. You might even possibly be paralyzed for a good deal of time, if not permanently, to walking out of the hospital a few weeks later because of his determination. A bunch of people have obviously, he's had a ton of support in terms of financially because Johnny'd had COVID, been laid off from his job, didn't have medical insurance when it goes down. But obviously his football community came together. Memphis has his old stomping grounds, I believe in South Carolina, have all come to his aid. And listen, this is a guy who's still got work to do in terms of getting it back, but he is walking again, and it is a miracle.
It is,
quite frankly, what Joe Craig's been through.
He's actually as we speak right now, he is he's got some follow up appointments that he's attending to. So we're hoping to talk to him at 12:25. He has a GoFundMe right now because he has to, I believe he has a spinal surgery that he has to a second round of surgeries, and one of them is on his spine. And you got a GoFundMe if you can give. It is up on his Twitter account. His Twitter account is Craig, C-R-A-I-G, underscore Deuce, D-E-U-C-E. And he's posted his GoFundMe. So if you can help, certainly would encourage you to do that. He's going to join us at 12:25 and just take us through his journey the last few weeks and sort of what the future may hold for him. That'll be at 12:25. And then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 1:25. We will talk to him about everything going on in Memphis. Bars are reopening in Memphis. And another story that I saw, no COVID cases linked to restaurants in Memphis. Did you see that story? No clusters linked back to restaurants here in Memphis, which tells you one thing, that the restaurants here in Memphis are responsible and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're following protocols. So that would be good news. For me, just a really quick coronavirus update here in Memphis, because as you guys know, I very much pay attention to these daily numbers. 147 new cases today out of 3,373 results, which would put you at a positivity rate of just 4.4%. So it continues to dwindle COVID-19 in the city of Memphis. That's a lot of results. That's a lot of testing. We're doing a lot of testing lately. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the testing results. We've been doing a lot of testing the last few weeks, and this is good news. This is good news. So anyway, Jeff Cogg is going to join us at 1:25. But Tyler Hero is the hope. He is the hope of white America. There is no question about it after last night.
Here's the question for you. Do you believe in Miami now? Like now, right? I mean, Boston at this point, it's going to take a minor miracle for them to come back. They're on the brink of elimination here. You had picked yesterday, I think, the Celtics go 2-2, and I wasn't fighting you on that. But we told you, too, once Spoelstra, that stat, once he goes up 2-0 in a series, he was undefeated previously, 10-0 as a coach of the Miami Heat. They had not lost, went up 2-0. And last night, you know, again, in an unexpected way with Tyler Hero scoring 37, they get it done. And at least is there any way this Boston team, which right now is trying to learn how to close out games, right, trying to learn who it's going to be. Again, they've got guys that may one day be closers like Jason Tatum.
Oh, yeah.
But if you saw Tatum, he didn't look like he knew what to do from the outset yesterday. 0 points in a game he finishes, I think, with 28. All of them coming in the second half, but it's early on, that lack of aggressiveness by him, that's sort of what's plagued Boston. It's like, whose turn is it? Should I go now? Yeah. Rather than, like we talked about with Scalabrine earlier this week, they're not playing team ball. And again, the zone's hurting them. They don't seem to have that figured out yet. We thought maybe they did after game three. But you add that with the sort of, hey, what are we going to do here with Tyler Hero looking like a young Pat Riley?
Yep.
Even better than that, obviously. Recipe for disaster for the Boston Celtics last night.
Well, you know, I do think there's something to that, right? Like, for example, Gordon Hayward leaves the bubble for the birth of his son. Then he comes back to the bubble, and you have to work him back in. And I just think that's a hell of a thing to do in the middle
of
the—
Did he leave, or was he just injured and then decided, you know what? And didn't she say, can't wait for you to see him? I thought Gordon was injured with the ankle, obviously, was down. Just for facts.
Well, yeah, okay, so he didn't come down until after the birth of his son, either one or the other.
Yeah,
right?
I'm pretty sure he still hadn't seen his son. That's what the tweet from his wife was. Can't wait till you get back home. He had decided, I'm going to stay, but remember, the ankle injury is what had him sign. Either way, he comes back. Things looked a little bit better in game three, but again, not last night.
For whatever reason, I thought—
He was. Remember, the reports where he was going to leave for his son. That was pre-bubble, going into the bubble for his son's birth. But I'm pretty sure he missed the birth. His wife sent him.
He left. He left the bubble after the ankle injury.
Yes.
And then he came back, and I guess he did not see his son.
His only son. Remember, he had three daughters.
He's been working on this. It's been his life's work to get that son.
Well, he thought he could help the Celtics there. It changed his mind on this.
And so anyway, whatever the case may be, you're working him back in, and you know you have Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. So I definitely do think there are a lot of mouths to feed. No, I mean, and
they're talented mouths, right? They're trying to figure out how it all comes, how you put it together.
To me, it's
sometimes
very simple.
Sometimes Smart's trying to do too much. Sometimes Kemba's trying to do too much. I guess Jason felt in the first half he'd been trying because he doesn't score anything, and it just hasn't come together looking like which you would expect
right
at this point right. under a coach like Brad Stevens.
Jason Tatum's supposed to be the guy. Like that, like it
should be his team, but right. I don't know that the rest of the team, or maybe even more importantly, that Jason Tatum knows that.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. And that would sort of give me pause as to believing that they could, recover from a 3-1 deficit. I think they're going to win game five. I keep going back to the talent. Right now,
he has talent too,
as we are finding out. I mean, Kendrick Nunn ain't even playing right now.
A guy that was up for Rookie of the Year,
yeah,
that's barely, to your point, barely playing on the same team. The other rookie scores the most a rookie's ever scored off the bench in a playoff game.
So how
rich is Miami?
I also think with the
veterans that are playing well.
I think it goes back to that stat about Spo. Right, when you go up 2-0 in a series, like he's got a vice grip on that thing. I think a lot of it goes back to him. And I saw this on Twitter a little bit last night. Like, at what point do we start having a conversation about Brad Stevens? Because you know it is your job as a coach to delegate and to really make sure guys
have
know
your team ready for the zone.
Yeah. I mean, that too.
Just that simply.
Because I mean, there is no to me, there are few bigger darlings in coaching than Brad Stevens. People lose their minds over Brad Stevens as a coach, and he's down. He's down 3-1 right now to the Heat, who are very talented, but you would still say less talented than the Boston Celtics. And I think that's not a great development for him. I mean, obviously they're not going to fire him or anything like that, but maybe it does start to sort of those questions start to creep in the back of your mind. But last night it was all about Tyler Hero. There's no doubt about that. And you asked me. Am I titillated by that?
I'm messing around with you. I mean, he's a great white player.
Well, I mean,
I imagine Pat Riley, when he is watching this, don't you think he looks at that like putting himself back in those shoes? You know, Pat.
Yes.
Pat played against that team from Texas Western. Remember?
Yes, he did.
That started first to start five African-American players. Remember
the
movie
that? Glory.
Yes, from the move down to Glory Road. Road.
Sorry.
Big difference there, John, between Glory and Glory Road. Want to make sure that we get that on the record there. Very, very separate movies. And yet, still dealing with unbelievable circumstances in both. And in this one, you had that Texas Western team beat that Rupp-coached Kentucky team that had a young Pat Riley. Aren't they even about the – Pat about 6'4", wasn't he? I think Tyler Hero runs about 6'5". I'm watching Pat up there. And, for the stars that he's had in his eyes all these years, I mean, let's keep in mind, you had Dwayne and Bosh and LeBron and all that stuff. Just, I got to feel – it's a different feeling down in the gut, right, when you're watching young Tyler Hero out there. If you're Pat Riley thinking, man, that was me back in my day. I couldn't miss either. And he was unbelievable last night. And it just this kid in terms of what you draft, 9 of 11 from 2, 5 of 10 from 3. According to Elias, he's the first player to shoot 80% from 2 and 50 from 3 in a playoff game in NBA history. Like, how does that happen from a guy this young? And part of it is empowering that guy to do that. And you got to give Miami's veteran credits because their veterans credit because again, guys like Jimmy Butler that were saying you got to be more aggressive. Goran Dragic, who for the most part's been unbelievable in this postseason, played the best basketball he's ever played. Instead of them saying, "Hey, this needs to be a vet moment right now," they've allowed a young kid, in this instance, a rookie like Tyler Hero, to not just get hot, but to get cooking and take it over. So you've got to give those vets credit too, where you got a basically, look, yes, they're sprinkled with some vets, but it's a young Boston team trying to figure it out. You got these vets in Miami saying, you know what, we got it figured out.
Yep.
Give it to the Rook.
Yep.
And it's all coming together for them at the right time. You said it, under the right coach, probably an underappreciated coach in Spoelstra.
I think absolutely so. And at this point, I have to assume the Heat are going to move on. I have to assume that they are going to be in the NBA Finals, barring it's going to take an epic collapse by them losing three straight games. I just don't know if they're going to do that. I I can't see Eric Spoelstra allowing that to happen. And so then you sort of think about, okay, well, what can the Heat do against the Lakers? Can they? Is it a good matchup?
This might flip where the Heat are resting up.
It is
before the Lakers get there.
It's possible. Certainly
looking
is possible.
The other way around the other day.
Now I do think this series is going
Lakers
six.
Show up 2-0.
At least. I mean, the Celtics Heat series is going six. They got. I mean, the Celtics for prime.
You would feel like they're too talented not to win to win two of them at least.
And so
I don't know, man. Miami's got control now.
It is going to be an interesting question, but like. Can the Heat push LeBron, like Jimmy on LeBron? That is...
Oh, brother, that's his...
Well, I mean, because what you have is the classic sort of
as good as it
clash.
Gets, really, with what's left.
You have, like, you know, mid-grade veteran guards for the Lakers, right? I mean, with Rondo and KCP and Caruso versus, like, some studly rookies and some studly young cats for the Miami Heat. And then it's going to be AD versus Bam, and then it's going to be LeBron and Jimmy. I mean, so it could
a team that knows what it's doing and more knows what it's doing to close these games, but more importantly, ain't gonna be scared, John. I just feel like with this Celtics team that we're watching, trying to figure it out and can't against Miami, when you've got a vet like LeBron James and a lot of those guys, look, I mess around, I call Tatum light skinned LeBron, they look up to him so much. I just wonder, are they ready for that moment?
Yeah.
Whereas I know, you know, there's such reverence when it comes to LeBron.
Yep.
Is it going to be that, or are you guys going to be ready to play in the finals? And again, with their struggles right here in the Eastern Conference Finals, you'd leave that question and say, well, they're probably going to be a little bit shaky, to say the least, against LeBron. Whereas with Jimmy and that squad, I know Jimmy's been in those battles with LeBron before. He's probably the most unintimidated guy when it comes to LeBron James. He lives for that challenge. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have a Miami team that won't be questioning itself, that won't be saying, man, is this LeBron's fourth? Are we just supposed to lay down here? No, they'll look at this is our chance. And again, a more confident team that right now knows what it's doing. I just felt like, I said that last week, the better series after you watch Miami go up in this thing looks to me to be Miami and the Lakers. That said, we're counting out Denver, and that may be foolish.
Yeah.
But I'm still with you on that front, that the Lakers are going to come through. Look, we've counted out Denver before, and they've proven us wrong. Literally did it in Game 3 again. They proved us wrong. But that said, that matchup with a Jimmy Butler team that is not intimidated by LeBron, that's looking at this is our chance to make some history here rather than is this LeBron's fourth, I just think you're in for a really good matchup and probably the best. Because that, again, that Lakers team that with LeBron leading the way and having that experience, especially from a mindset over Boston, dude, you could be looking at a 4 or 5-game series there with the way Boston's trying to figure this thing out, with how badly they've looked against the zone. With Miami, I think you're looking at something much more competitive.
Yeah. No, maybe it's going to be a little bit more compelling than I thought it would be. But the Miami Heat take the 3-1 lead last night over the Boston Celtics. Last night, I talked to Jordan Nesbitt's high school coach. Jordan Nesbitt's a top 100 kid. Averaged 25-12 last season at St. Louis Christian Academy. Very talented player. Got Memphis in his top three. We'll talk about those conversations, what I learned from those conversations, a little bit later in the show. Before we do that, Alyssa Lang is going to join us. She's got a new show coming out that premieres this weekend on the SEC Network, Out of Pocket with Alyssa Lang. She's going to join us when we come back. We'll talk to her about the new show, about the SEC kicking off this weekend. Lots to get to with her on the other side. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Then Jeff Calkins mornings. Jason and John middays. Giannotto and Jeffrey. Then Gary Parish afternoons. The Titans, the Bulls, the NFL, the SEC, Tigers talk. This is the Mid-South's biggest sports station and the number one place for sports in Memphis. Live on the radio.com app with Rewind, where you can always rewind and listen to our local shows like a DVR, Alexa, and smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN.
92.9 ESPN from radio.com.
Sports in the United States have finally mostly returned. Football is back. Major League Baseball is headed toward the playoffs. The MLS season continues. So we got a lot of stuff to sit at home and watch. And if you like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to have a drink while you're watching. And if you like me, New Amsterdam Vodka should be your drink of choice. New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish, as you surely know by now. It's so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodkas, understand New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon is the newest flavor. Keep an eye out for that. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or in a liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out. On the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Fall is a season that's a little in the middle. It's sort of the best of two seasons. It's no longer a sweaty summer, but the winter chill is still around the corner. And that's the perfect time to feed and seed your lawn with Scott's Turf Builder. Even better than spring. Because the soil is still warm, but the air is getting cool. So your lawn gets the most nutrients in the best combination of temperatures. Feed and seed now with Scott's Turf Builder. And build the best lawn for every season. Scott's. It's good out here.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
All law firms are not the same. There's only one Morgan & Morgan for the people.
Memphis is home of the blues, barbecue, and Blue Note Juke Joint. It's bold like the blues and smoother than smooth. Enjoy it neat, on the rocks, or in a cocktail. Ask for it at your favorite liquor store, bar, or restaurant. Blue Note Bourbon Juke Joint.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Stop, Sag. Not me, Hollywood.
Her name is Alyssa Lang. She's the host of the brand new show on SEC Network, Out of Pocket, with Alyssa Lang. Debuts this Saturday at 8:30 Memphis time on SEC Network. Let's make her the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview, presented by King of Clean, with electrostatic cleaning, pressure washing, and much more for Memphis and the Mid-South. The King of Clean giant interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Alyssa, thanks for hopping on the show. How are you?
Oh, my gosh, I'm doing so well. I feel just like a superhero after that introduction. Like, well, wow, that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, well, now you've made it. You know, I know you're at ESPN. You got your new show coming up. But now you've officially made it when you're the giant interview here in Memphis. So tell us about the show. You know, in Memphis, we love food. We love football. All of that. It seems like that's what the show is going to focus on. What should we expect from Out of Pocket with Alyssa Lang?
Yeah, I feel like people in Memphis can certainly appreciate what we're trying to do here. I have been to Memphis one time, and I made it my personal goal to try to eat as much barbecue as humanly possible. And you guys did not disappoint. Oh, my gosh, some of the best I have ever had out in Memphis. But, yeah, it's basically the title of the show when it comes to football, and I guess the way you'd use that phrase in regular conversation as far as things being out of pocket. They're a little unusual, maybe a little bit uncomfortable at times and completely out of left field. So we're going to talk plenty of football. Obviously, there's no shortage of that with college football being back and the SEC being back this weekend. But also, one of the things that I love doing the most in my job is showcasing what these athletes and these coaches are like off the field. I mean, what are they doing before kickoff and after the final whistle? What are they like? What's their personality? And over the summer, when we were trying to figure out what kind of content to come up with for the SEC Network when everyone was in quarantine, I got to do a lot more stuff like that, you know, lightning round of stupid questions with coaches and learn about, you know, the things they really like. And it does so well, not only from a fan perspective, but for us to help build those relationships and really get to know what guys are like as a person. So that's what we're going to try to do with this show. You know, have plenty of fun talking football, but also get to know people on a deeper level. And for me specifically, that's a lot of food and donuts and music and Twitter and all that. So I'm going to try to bring that in on this show as well.
So if John and I were in Columbia Saturday for this one, I think there'll be 20,000 fans, at least from what I read. Best pregame meal spot that we'd have to go to in Columbia before the game?
Oh, man. So I'm going to out myself here. I actually spent about 6 years in Columbia. Mm-hmm. I'm a Gamecock grad, and I worked in the city for a couple of years after that. So you're asking the right person here for these recommendations. Palmetto Pig is probably one of my favorite spots. And again, y'all might be grading it a little more harshly because, again, Memphis is a barbecue spot, and that's what Palmetto Pig is. It is an all-you-can-eat barbecue buffet, and it is one of the best spots, I think, in Columbia. It is incredible, and that's where I always tell everyone to go. But go early because it'll be crowded on game day, even though there's nobody allowed, or not nobody. There's less than typical allowed at the stadium. I have a feeling Palmetto Pig's still going to look like a game day on Saturday.
So you know, we mentioned it. You got the SEC back this weekend, which is great, and honestly feels a little bit like normal. But I don't know. Like, this has been such a strange and awkward season, and the run up to all of this. It's not your traditional, you know, like your pageantry. Everything is very different. It's very socially distanced pageantry. So, like, personally, Alyssa, like, how are you feeling about the startup and the run-up to this season? Like, are you fired up? Is it like a cautious sort of, all right, we can start, but can we finish? Like, how are you looking at the football season, especially as it starts in the SEC?
Yeah, it's tough, and it changes every day, I think, just like everything else does, right? I mean, I'm always going to be fired up when it comes to college football, and I feel like I'm counting the seconds until we get to be at the stadium on Saturday night. But there's, like you said, there's always this nagging sort of feeling of, you know, this could all get taken away. And I know how that makes me feel, just as far as, you know, the cautious optimism, but still being excited at the same time. But gosh, I just can't help but think about how the players feel. That's always what's in the back of my mind is, man, if it makes me feel like this, I can't imagine being an 18 to 22-year-old kid taking the field and not knowing if that might be the last time this season, the last time of your career, the last time until you don't know when the next time you'll be able to strap up with your guys. So it's definitely a plethora of emotions, if you will. But I think I can speak for a lot of my colleagues and a lot of my friends who cover the sport. I'm going to take what I can get right now, and I'm going to be thrilled to be out there on Saturday to watch any and all college football that I can get. So until we get to the point where this thing stops or we've got to hit pause on it, I'm going to enjoy every single second I can get.
No, we're right there with you on that, Alyssa. We know the Vols side will. They come into this one ranked number 16. They've won six straight. Feels like Pruitt's got it pointed in the right direction. But on that South Carolina side, how much pressure is Will Muschamp under coming off that 4-8? I think they've lost their last three just going back to last season. How much pressure is he under this season in South Carolina?
Yeah, I think that's a question that you ask every season. Anybody's in the situation that Coach Muschamp is in, especially in this conference, it's tough. I think there's a lot of pressure from Gamecock fans who want to get back to, you know, what it looked like 6-7 years ago in Columbia. But at the same time, you know, this year, in my opinion, is going to be hard to put the same amount of pressure that you're used to putting on these coaches. I mean, we're talking about a 10-game SEC-only schedule with who knows what kind of curveballs are getting thrown at you every single day. I mean, you know, we try to stay as informed as possible, but you got to believe that there's things that these guys are dealing with behind the scenes and in their building that we probably know nothing about.
Absolutely.
Just as far as keeping their guys safe and healthy and, you know, corralling 100, you know, 19-year-old guys. So I think there's pressure certainly across the board for everyone, but gosh, if Will Muschamp can have even a 5-win season, I think, this year, that says a lot. And I know Gamecock fans and fans of any SEC team might be like, what? Are you kidding me? 5-6 wins? That sounds terrible. But, I mean, you look at the schedule, and it's like literally every other Saturday you're facing an Southeastern Conference opponent when you have literally no idea what could happen because you're lining up across some of the best talent in college football. So it's going to be a toss-up year. I think next year will be the year that maybe things can go a little bit back to normal as far as the pressure and expectations and everything. But that's fair. Definitely an anomaly of a year.
Sure.
Yeah, we're talking to Alyssa Lang. Her new show, Out of Pocket with Alyssa Lang, premieres this Saturday on SEC Network, 8:30 Memphis time. Do not miss that. The Lang train officially leaves the station this weekend, finally. He gets to bring in his new era with a matchup against the top five Florida Gators. Obviously, we probably don't expect much from the Rebels this season, but is Lane the guy who can succeed there? Does he have the personality? I mean, it seems to me like, just following him on Twitter, like there needs to be a certain sense of self-deprecation at that job, and it feels like Lane has that. Do you agree? Do you think Lane is the guy? Can he turn that program around and sustain it long term?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I mean, Lane Kiffin being back in the SEC was one of those just things that felt inevitable, right? And then when this job was open, it was like, okay, well, he's either going to Arkansas or Ole Miss. Like, there's no question that that has to be one of the spots. And him ending up at Ole Miss in a town like that, I was just like, man, that's got to be perfect. And talking to him over the summer and watching some of the interviews that we were able to do, just seeing him in his element and talking about what it's been like so far. I mean, again, going back to what a challenge for a first-year coach in the SEC to be dealing with all of this. But if we know anything, it's that Lane Kiffin is a pretty funny guy. And I think that certainly helps when you're coaching college kids and in that environment. So I'm really excited to see what happens. You know, this Florida Ole Miss matchup is interesting. Florida's my pick as of right now to go to Atlanta and represent the SEC East. But again, you never know what could happen in the SEC. And Ole Miss is a team that has absolutely nothing to lose. So if Florida comes out there and they're flat-footed, and Lane has the guys ready to go, this might be a little bit more of an interesting matchup than many of us are predicting. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some craziness happen from Lane and his team this year.
You're not alone on picking Florida. The SEC media poll, preseason media poll, came out yesterday, I think, and 53 of the 96 first-place votes went to Florida, picking them to win their first one since 2016. Why, Alyssa? Why do you give Florida the edge over Georgia?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, going into the year, Florida was still that team that I was like, all right, well, Kyle Trask is back. He's got a host of talent around him. Looking at what Todd Grantham's been able to do with that defense over the last several years specifically, this Florida team just feels like the one that gives me the most confidence. And I think Matt Stinchcomb, one of our analysts, he's a Georgia grad. He does a lot of games with me. He's in studio with us for SEC Now. He put it perfectly when he basically said, look, 2020 is about what you already have in the kitchen. What's already in your pantry? Do you already have the ingredients to be able to put the meal together? It doesn't have to be this crazy, grand, you know, five-star feast, but it's whoever has the stuff in their kitchen already. They don't have to go get anything. They have the reliable ingredients, and that's where I feel like Florida is. Especially after the last couple of weeks with what Georgia's dealt with in their quarterback rotation and Jamie Newman leaving, and now we don't know who the starter's going to be. Yeah. While I think the two guys they're looking at right now are pretty talented, the fact that Florida hasn't dealt with really any sort of roster shakeup at all gives me a lot of confidence. I will say, though, it wouldn't surprise me to see another team sneak in, whether it be a Georgia or a Kentucky, who I've been really high on for the last couple of months as well. But Florida's just that team that makes me sort of have the warm and fuzzies as far as, like, okay, as long as you don't mess up, this looks good for you for Atlanta.
All right, Alyssa, before we get you out of here, gotta get you on the record. Across the SEC footprint, where can you go? Like, who's got the best food? Who has the best offering? And who leaves the most to be desired?
Oh, man. So I'll have to preface this by saying I actually still haven't been to every city in the SEC. Last year was my first year traveling and doing games, and I didn't quite make it to every city yet. So I don't feel like I have, you know, a super well-thought answer for this. But as far as where I've gone, Oxford is always one of my favorites. They have some incredible food on the square in Oxford. Okay. And whenever I see that on my assignment list, I am always so excited to just go eat. But honestly, like, I hate to give the political answer. I have not had a bad meal in any SEC town. And I feel like y'all know I'm not lying about that.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's the right answer.
If it were the Big Ten, I'd have an issue with this. But I think with the SEC, you're safe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Alyssa, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations on
everything. Looking forward to the show.
We'll be watching this weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Yep, she is Alyssa Lang. Catch her on Out of Pocket with Alyssa Lang on the SEC Network this Saturday. Yeah, like it is one of those things. I mean, where in the South can you not go and get, like, good food? I mean, that's the thing.
Well, and you get recommendations. You're not going to get something bad.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's all – it's all good, but yes, I mean, sometimes you just have to count your blessings that you're assigned in the SEC and not the Big Ten or the Pac-12, you know, because, you know, let's be honest, if you're in the Pac-12, if you're a Pac-12 reporter, you're eating like kale and vegan, right? And like, you know, remember when the diaper baby was running around in Vegan Cafe?
Yeah, very little fried food.
That's what you get in Pac-12, little naked babies running around with doo-doo on their drawers.
Oh, that was awful.
And
I put that out of my mind until you brought it back.
Yeah, I mean, I would honestly...
Are they back, by the way?
Vegan Cafe?
Yeah.
Oh, they never left. I don't know, honestly. I don't know. But I think...
Can you still see that baby? Is that baby grown now?
It's actually 6 years old now, and it still runs around naked as hell.
Okay.
Now, it was Imagine Vegan? Wasn't that what it was called?
The name I can't remember, but something along those lines. I don't want to single them out if they've improved, John, or if the baby's grown up and they're doing well over there now.
Yeah, that was it. Imagine Vegan. Yeah.
Naked baby running.
Yeah, a customer complained the owners had let their children run around in the nude and defecate on the floor.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty. See, that's about as bad as it can possibly get.
That's what you get with the radical left in the Pac-12. You know, their little babies running around pooping on the floor. You know, anarchy. Absolute anarchy.
Ah, natural. We don't wear diapers.
Yeah. I mean, how are you just going to let your baby crap on the floor, man? Like, I mean, I get it. You're like, you're free with yourself, but that's a little too much. But see, that's why you're counting your blessings. That you don't have to worry about that in the SEC. You get a good plate, some good soul food.
A lot of barbecue.
Food, you know, a lot of barbecue. Absolutely. I mean, it's comfort food. And so we are very blessed to live where we live, Jason.
I'm sure she made a lot of people happy with that Oxford answer.
Yeah,
can't go wrong down there.
I did not know Oxford had that going on.
Are you kidding me? It's a freaking party down there.
I didn't know. I had no idea. I've only been once. I've only been to Oxford one time.
The food's good. The drinks are good.
Yeah. I didn't stay either. I went and left.
Would tell you that's all better than the actual football in that experience.
Well, over the last several years, you would say, yes, absolutely.
Since he...
Yeah. All right. We will come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John, 92.9 FM. Yes.
There is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. And to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. So it's time to draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Make no mistake, every run, every pass, every catch means more with DraftKings. And it's really simple to play. All you do is pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Understand, DraftKings paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012. That's billions with a B. That means they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. So please go download the DraftKings app now and don't forget to use the code WMFS, because for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Do not miss out on the week 3 action. Enter code WMFS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code WMFS only at DraftKings. Make it rain. A minimum $5 deposit is required. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Everywhere you look these days, things are starting to come back. Football, school, the institutions that make up the fabric of our lives. So there's no better time to come back and visit another enduring Memphis institution, Oak Hall. Seriously, if you haven't been back, stop in and see them today. You'll find the same helpful people and the same beautiful clothing. I know I always feel restored just walking through the place. Pick up some shorts or knit shirts from Peter Millar. Get yourself something for the outdoors. I've loved stopping in at Oak Hall on a fall weekend just to browse. And since you'll likely be watching the football games on TV this year, it's a way of getting a little taste of normal back in your lives. During the last 6 months, I think we've all learned how much relationships matter. Relationships with family and friends, and also with the institutions and places that we hold dear. For a whole lot of Memphians, Oak Hall is one of those places. So stop in and see your old friends sometime soon.
All 75 months at 2.99 APR, G4, LHFO 7472, Outlander, LU029957, Eclipse, LZO15617. Includes all rebates and incentives, PF59875, excludes tax, title, and license. Offer valid through end of the month with approved credit, dealer stock only. See dealer for complete details.
Gossett's Mitsubishi Madness is in full swing at Gossett Mitsubishi on the Pike, and you'll find deals to get this party started. 2020 Mitsubishi Mirage G4 gets 41 mpg highway. We Gossett at $139 a month or buy for $12,435. 2020 Mitsubishi Outlander Sport, built to handle any adventure, at $229 a month or buy for $18,573. And take the 2020 Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross for a spin at $19,107 or $229 a month. Get confidence today, tomorrow, and long into the future with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Mirage G4, $139 a month. Outlander Sport, $229 a month. And Eclipse Cross, $229 a month. So get to Gossett Mitsubishi today, 1870 Covington Pike, or shop online at MemphisMitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Most people know that Mr. Clean Magic Eraser removes crayon and scuff marks from walls, but did you know it even cleans tough kitchen and bathroom messes that are sometimes tough to tackle? Just wet, squeeze, and erase gray soap scum on your bathtub. Erase cloudy hard water spots in your shower. Erase burnt-on stovetop messes. So for all your tough kitchen and bathroom messes, try Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes. Try new styles in the comfort of your own home. And there's no subscription required ever. So, isn't it time to refresh your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
This is how we do it.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
It's Friday night, and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shore, cause I'm faded.
We're back, Jason and John, on the turn for me. Earlier this week, I got a chance to catch up with the high school coach of Jordan Nesbitt, who was a four-star guard out of St. Louis Christian Academy.
The Lou,
which is the best city for basketball in the NBA in terms of talent. No questions asked. Who's better?
Just see, you're looking for a fight, and I don't know why this is, because you're from here.
St. Louis is a very cultured place.
We gave you that their top two beats Memphis's top two.
They have baseball.
Tatum Beal to review for those that
didn't. Jason Tatum.
Better than
and
Penny.
Bradley Beal.
Plus X. We didn't. Thad, yeah. Lorenzen, whoever you put in there.
Now you not, you come
not
from
quite as good as
you
Tatum
come
Beal.
From Jeff City, right?
Right. Yeah, the capital of Missouri.
Right. So the cap
didn't
the
spend much time.
El Capital of Missouri.
Right.
So St. Louis has a soft spot in your heart.
Oh, go through there all the time to get up to my dad's people.
They're
up
saying
in Fulton.
The internet says Compton, right outside Los Angeles, has
Compton.
Produced the most NBA players than any other city in that.
See, John tried to take it to a new height today, saying that the greatest of in the country. Take it to a new arch. We gave you
Gateway
last week
arch.
Top two better than Memphis's top two.
Well,
but why are you all of a sudden repping St. Louis?
Because St. Louis is, to me, it's the greatest city in America.
Okay. Well, they got another Hooper coming out of there in Nesbitt. We know that. Four-star.
Well, I'm not ready to move on yet.
I could tell.
No.
I mean, they got the brewery, right? What is it? The Anheuser-Busch brewery?
Budweiser.
Yes.
Budweiser, yes.
With the horse?
Mm-hmm. I've never been.
I mean, think about all the great things that St. Louis has to offer.
Got a Top Golf.
They got a Top Golf.
Which I know you love.
Cardinals, baseball.
Mm-hmm. Brad loves that.
We're going to the playoffs.
They have nothing a soccer better. Team. They're getting a pro soccer team.
Getting that, too.
Yeah. St. Louis is on the rise.
Did lose their football team, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'll get it.
A couple times.
They did.
They had a successful XFL team for a while.
They did.
And they're getting one back, apparently, for your homeboy.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Because The Rock has purchased the XFL and will resurrect it from the dead, apparently.
St. Louis, to me, in so many ways.
They got XFL. We had AAF. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the greatest cities in America.
Another one, Windy City All-Stars, Chicago, is supposedly right there at the top for NBA production.
I mean, when you think about
it. You know it is. And then the Maryland area.
Maryland, Baltimore.
The blue collar, the grit, and the grind of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. It's two dudes, John. It's two dudes.
But two all-stars and all pros.
And another one may be coming in Nesbitt.
No,
see what I did there?
There's the turn.
I keep trying to turn it.
There's the turn.
I want to continue to write my love letter for St. Louis.
Don't understand.
Nelly. Yep. They, I mean, in every way, they're just a. It's an unbelievable city.
Nelly's still getting money.
Done.
With great culture.
Done maybe with hits, but he is still getting money.
Yeah,
he's
always getting paid. There's no question.
Because you know what? When you're from St. Louis, that's what you do. You just know how to hustle. You know how to grind.
Okay. As a native Mr. St. Louis.
St. Lunatic. Well, the rundown is brought to you by Travel to St. Louis.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot like Memphis. Memphis and St. Louis, I think, are very similar. That's my opinion. I think it's a river town. They're gritty towns.
Gritty.
Hardworking people. You know, they're trying to do
love
better.
Baseball.
I think they're very similar. The baseball, basketball is the big difference.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Right. You just love more. You like baseball in St. Louis, whereas in Memphis, you love basketball.
Yeah, they rep baseball there. They do basketball in Memphis.
St. Louis is fine. But Jordan Nesbitt is from St. Louis. That is true.
There's the turn.
And.
Turning like Bubba Wallace.
And like any smart person from St. Louis, he's looking to get the hell out and perhaps migrate to the east.
There you go now. Now you're talking.
To the city of Memphis. And he is down to – I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like St. Louis. I'm sorry. Like, I've been there a couple times. It's just not my cup of tea. That's fine. I know it is a lot of people's cup of tea. But he's down to three. Jordan Nesbitt is down to three. Memphis, Illinois, and St. Louis, obviously hometown school. I talked to his high school coach, earlier this week about his decision. He announces, I believe, October the 1st, which is a week from today. So I thought it would be a good time to catch up with him and just kind of reset the recruitment. Where does everybody stand? Now, here's the thing about Jordan Nesbitt. He is – you don't know him, right, because he's not a five-star kid from Memphis. But he's very, very good. He is very, very good. And he averaged 25 points and 12 rebounds as a guard, basically, last season. Now, I don't know anything about their schedule. I don't know anything about, you know, kind of who they played. But – listen, we talk about Moussa Cisse stats all the time on his damn show, all right? And he played, you know, me and you. So,
no, it was a little bit better than that.
Not much. It was, I mean, it, let's be honest. I mean, he's being guarded by a 5'10 center in that division, okay? am I wrong?
Like, close. They maybe 6'2".
They got to go get the offensive guard from the football team. Hey, man, can you come guard Moussa? That's all they can do.
Low level for you.
Yeah. So
that's the way Scalabrine at the high level he thinks you played.
Well, he's right.
Right.
But anyway, Jordan Nesbitt averaged 25 and 12 last season.
Sound like a stud.
And he's become a priority for the University of Memphis. They offered him last month, and he's become, you know, again, it's all part of what Penny is trying to build, which is just get a lot of guys who do a lot of the same things, put them together, play that positionless basketball, and just be a system of development of you know, pro potential.
Interchangeable both offensively and defensively.
And high octane.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do. Yeah. Basically the opposite of what Tubby was doing. So he's down to Memphis, Illinois, and St. Louis. And this is what his coach, Casey Autenrieth, said about Memphis. The staff there with Penny, Tony, and Cody, those are first-class guys. With Penny, there's a lot of experience at the NBA level where Jordan would like to end up. Those guys know what it takes to get to the next level. There's a big emphasis on development on top of just that city and the spectacle of it all. That staff has done a great job connecting with him and building the relationship. They've really shown him their vision. What does that sound like to you, Jace Move? Would you say that's a positive review?
I would say that's a positive review. You don't want to get too deep in. But, yeah, I'd say it's positive.
So
Crystal Ball's got him like third in this recruitment.
Memphis?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
he touched on that yesterday.
We'll get to that in just a minute. Okay. It's a very relevant and important fact you're bringing up here,
Brad. Because Antigua's on that recruitment for Illinois.
For Illinois, yeah. So then Illinois was brought up. And one of the key factors, I mean, it's not hard to figure out. I mean, Illinois, St. Louis, Memphis, these are all drivable distances.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to go somewhere that's pretty close to home. All of these places are relatively close. I mean, St. Louis is home. Illinois is about a 2.5 hour drive from Champaign is about a 2.5 hour drive from St. Louis, and then Memphis is about 4 hours. You can probably get there in about 3 hours and 45 if you go 90. I wouldn't recommend doing that. But anyway, this is what the coach said about Illinois. That staff has done a phenomenal job of resurrecting that program. Brad Underwood is highly respected and does a great job. You've got Orlando Antigua, who's on at the highest level. I really think what's impressive is what they put into the developmental side of things what they've done with Ayo Dosunmu. That's a big thing for us to see with the success he's having. That plays a part in the interest.
I had completely forgotten that Antigua was up there until Brad just mentioned his name.
It's kind of crazy.
Completely forgotten.
I mean, he's their lead recruit. He's a stud when it comes to recruiting.
I mean, that's a big get for Illinois.
Yeah.
I've been a
fan of Brad Underwood since he beat Memphis. Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, that was a tough one to swallow there.
That got him the job at Oklahoma State.
It was out in Vegas.
He had some early hiccups.
Am I wrong on that?
Wasn't it here?
Maybe that one was here.
You know, Brad, it didn't take off immediately for Brad at Illinois. I mean, because they had to get the culture going. But I think he's got it. Well, I mean, obviously this year with the preseason rankings, they look really good. And then Antigua was a hell of a recruiter. So.
Yeah, I always thought he was going to get South Florida off the ground, but it didn't happen.
No.
I'm checking on
that guard that he did end up getting down there.
It was here. That's why it was so catastrophic.
That guard that he got down to South Florida ended up transferring to SMU. Like, that was one of the players that Antigua got. I thought that, you know, I'm talking about the point guard that's real good. Ended up all AAC.
I can't remember his name. Is it SMU?
It ended up transferring to SMU.
Jalen Smith?
It's like McMurray or something like that.
Oh, yeah, McMurray.
I want to say Antigua got him down to South Florida. Thought he was going to get that thing turned around. He didn't. But to that point, definitely an asset for Illinois. Clearly,
we know both of you guys would love to just go ahead and get Brad Underwood the hell up out of there and just install Orlando as the head coach.
Underwood's very good, like he said,
he's
respected, especially in college basketball.
So
by people who know it.
Yep. The Big Ten was also another thing that the coach mentioned. I mean, it's you know, one of the best two leagues of basketball. You know, I mean, we could argue about ACC or Big Ten all day long. It's one of the two best conferences in college basketball. Illinois feels like, to me, the big threat. And we'll get to St. Louis in a minute. But, again, without knowing exactly what's on Illinois' roster, Ayo was a guy much like Jordan Nesbitt, who was probably a little bit under the radar when he committed there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now he's on the pro radar. Unbelievable talent there. And so I think that's definitely something that if you're him, you look at it and you're like, oh, wow, that's maybe they can sort of follow that blueprint with me.
Right.
And then we'll get to St. Louis. So we've had this conversation before. When there is a kid in Memphis, and I would say 95% of cases, if not even more, when Memphis locks in on that kid and offers that kid and recruits that kid, he goes to Memphis. That's just the way it goes.
Makes sense.
You would be historically right to assume that a Memphis kid who gets an offer from Memphis stays home. The dynamics are a little different here with Nesbitt. Because what's interesting is that they have not been there since day one. Like, they only offered as the hometown school about a year ago, which is weird because, you know, typically if you're St. Louis and you have a kid in city, you'd be on there from jump. Like, you go out and just throw an offer out as a freshman. Like, if he's good, he's good. And you get in there on the ground floor. And so this is what, you know, Brad, you mentioned every crystal, at least the last I checked as of last night, crystal ball prediction at 24/7 is St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
It's 100%.
Yeah.
Is it unanimous still?
It's 60-40 to Illinois. Illinois's got 40%.
So it's changed.
Yeah, that's why they said so. St. Louis is at 60 high. There are seven guys there, four on Illinois at 40%. You know, the thing about St. Louis that people who may not have grown up there like I did don't recognize is, frankly, people in St. Louis do not give a crap about Billikens basketball. In Memphis, you live it, man. Like, it's part of the culture here. So this kid is not living in it like you would if you were in Memphis.
Yeah,
you
know? So it looks like Brian Snow changed his pick.
That's important. Seems important. Yeah.
After my
to Illinois
piece ran today. Oof. Yeah. Now, it's his confidence level is 2, which is very low.
Right.
But this is what the coach said about St. Louis. He's not super concerned with the hometown angle. I see that being broadcast all over, but that's not really coming from our camp. He's not really concerned about them being a favorite just because of the hometown school. St. Louis has done a great job. They've done a pretty good job of resurrecting the program. Jordan's been to some games there, and they've been building a relationship. But as far as them being a favorite, I wouldn't say that.
The hometown school that came in late to that point, that sounds like, man,
well, like,
so much for them, almost from those comments.
Again, I just started sort of talking
everybody's
to
got the story wrong.
People mm-hmm. around that situation, but I almost wonder if it's a Chioza deal where, like, maybe the kid would have liked to stay home, but you came in so late.
Too late.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah.
That you just, you insult him almost. Like,
what's Travis doing up there if you're not offering the good kid out of St. Louis?
I mean, now, he did offer him, but, I mean, it took him a minute.
Too late.
Like, yeah.
That's what I'm from the get-go is the point I'm making.
Like, you shouldn't have to wait until the kid's, you know, summer before his junior year to know if he's good enough or not. I mean, come on. And the way recruiting – I mean, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, R.J. Hampton's younger brother has an offer for Memphis right now. He's 8. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's that's true. Like,
is that true?
Yeah, Penny told him he's got an offer. I mean, that's
no, but this is his. He'll be his 5th season this year, so it's not like he doesn't know the lay of the land already in St. Louis.
Right.
Speaking of Travis, he should he should have known better.
So you know, this one is this is what I know. Memphis feels good about it. The word I get is that St. Louis is not much of a threat. That it is going to come down to Memphis and Illinois. And honestly, like, Memphis has so many irons in the fire. Like, for example, with Jonathan Lawson, Debo Coleman is a guy that we had not mentioned either the other
Memphian
day.
Memphian, who's down in Florida now.
You know, so it's not going to be devastating if they don't land this kid, right? Because they have other kids that they're in on. But you would like to get him. I mean, because it's hard to argue with 25-12. It's hard to argue with a guy who has that level of production. And I'm assuming they played some sort of a national schedule. And so Memphis would definitely like to get him, but it's not as though, I mean, again, when you've only offered the kid a month ago, it's not like you've invested, you know, it's not losing Musa Cisse, right? When you've been on the kid for 2 years or whatever, and they got involved and they're on the top three and they believe they can get him. But again, it's not going to be a catastrophic blow to the program if they don't.
Sound like it's becoming a top two. It's got Illinois and Memphis in it rather than
St. Louis story. You just don't hear. I mean, the coach was very adamant about it. Like, very adamant about the fact that, you know, he wants to be close to home, but that doesn't mean he wants to stay home. Some kids need to get out, right? I don't know anything about his situation at home, like whatever, but some guys need to leave the city of Memphis.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, or their hometowns, whatever.
Sure.
You see it all the time. You know, honestly, Austin Nichols should have left. And I think that's something he probably, you know, if he could have done it differently, he might have done that.
Make an argument, he should have stayed.
Oh, well, certainly after you commit and go through 2 years.
And if you go to a school like Illinois, you're in the middle of the damn sticks. I mean, there is nothing, it's not an urban campus.
But they
you know,
do like, love their basketball up there, though.
Yeah, but they're a bunch of... Frankly, they're hillbillies that I grew up with. I mean, St. Louis, there's so much more to do and see. Like Memphis, there's so much more to do than Champaign, Illinois. It's a way better setup, in my opinion.
Oh,
you know?
No. I mean, it all comes down to what you want.
What do you want? Yeah.
I mean, I think, objectively speaking, you're going to get a better campus experience. Just like the whole college experience is going to be better for Illinois.
Everything's centered around
it's a Big Ten campus.
Right. There's nothing else. Yeah, happening.
That's it. It's the school.
Memphis. You come to Memphis if you're trying to, like, honestly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.